When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talking! Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
Guy, can you do this one like you're reading the X Radio news?
I can do that. It's 11 o'clock. I'm Guy Henderson. We're sitting in the room with a Santa suit. Yeah, I do have to do that occasionally.
Your new job, your new role.
It's good fun.
Part of your new role.
Part of my new role is reading the news on Radio X.
Radio X, X Radio, sorry. EXE.
Radio EXE.
That's more American. Yeah. Do EXE in American.
Radio EXE.
There we go.
EXE Exeter. We digress. And there's a Santa suit on the back of your chair.
There is. You said you'd gone for a Santa run in it. I'm just hoping it's dried out by now.
It's. I should explain. It's a legacy of the Brixham Santa Run, which happened a couple of weeks
ago. You were one of 300 odd Santas. It's
fantastic.
I thought you were going to say something else then.
It was absolutely fantastic.
Great. I saw some pictures.
And the money raised went to Shelston Pool, which is an important cause in Brixham. Yeah. A lot of fun. If you're not feeling Christmassy before that, you are definitely feeling Christmassy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we're feeling pretty Christmassy after Torquay's win at Froome.
Yep. Froome,
isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it's Froome. Okay. I'm going Froome. You can go Froome and then we'll keep everybody happy.
Yeah. Let's call the whole thing off.
And we've just been up to Gary Johnson's press conference, which was a very good-natured affair.
I dragged my sorry, cold, burdened
arse
up there.
You've been unwell, haven't you?
Yeah, I have been unwell. I wrote about it in the paper this week. I started to write too much about myself and I'm getting a big head. So I'm going to start writing about other people next week. I've had a horrible cold. But actually, I think it's been doing the rounds. I keep on hearing people saying
people
about this cold.
Yeah. And I'm just
sitting
across the table
from you. I did do the old COVID test. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I think by now I'm all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll let you know next
week. I did say to Gary when I spoke to him on Tuesday morning that I wouldn't come to the press conference, and I saw his eyes light up when I walked in, as if to say, you stay clear of me.
Keep clear. You kept well clear of everybody, in fact, at the press conference. There was a lot to talk about, obviously. The chat has been dominated by the young lads who played
the young ones.
We'll talk about that as well. And there's
isn't it marvellous?
There's a possibility in the dim and distant future of something that I think is absolutely unique happening, and it involves Talker United.
Okay.
And I'll tell you all about it.
All right.
But first, we'll go over to the press conference, and we'll be back on the other side of Gary Johnson.
So Gaffo, good solid victory last Saturday against Froome Town in the trophy, and proved once again that a youth system is so important to not only Torquay United, but to all other clubs, as the players that came in done the job for you last week.
Yeah, it's important to have a pathway from the kids, right, as young as they are when they're here, what, 8, 9, all the way through to the first team, for the one or two that might make it at the end of that. And obviously all the others have had fun doing it, gaining experience, belonging to a professional football club. And that's what happens. I mean, I was really pleased for the boys because I know what it's like when you have your debut for a first team, and they all conducted themselves very, very well. And certainly the three that played affected the game in some way, of course played a part in the win. Two lads on the bench didn't quite make it, but they made it into the squad on that particular occasion. So it's always nice when you can bring the pros and the kids together, because it's a great experience for them, especially when you win the game.
Didn't pick up any injuries of note last week, which was a bonus. We obviously have picked up recently in other games. Have we got an injury update?
Yeah, we got a few. I don't know, people, you know, you must get the you boys here because you ask me the questions. I always say it's a Thursday. We'll have to have these conversations on a Saturday morning when we definitely know it. Leaving people to the last minute. So we have still got people that we have to leave to the last minute. Ones that we definitely know are available, of course, are like Ethan Archer, who was cup tied last week, so he's fit. We've got a couple of other lads that are just going through their final paces this morning before they join us for the session. So we've just got to make sure they tick a few boxes and the physios tell us that they're ready for training as normal, and then in which case they're available for selection.
We've got the heavy period coming up now, Saturday, Tuesday, lots of games to come. How important is it for the boys to stay focused going into this period now?
Well, I know that, we mention it every day. To be fair, we've coming into this period now in good form, and really, you know, once you get a little bit of good form, then the confidence comes back in them individually and in as a team, and then you look forward to the next games, the few games. So that's really where we want to put them. I think we won 6 out of 7, I think, and we won our last 3 or 4. So we're going into this game with confidence. Whoever's selected, so that's good. That's where you always want your lads to be going into another important game.
Two games coming up now, tournament next Tuesday, starting this Saturday. We've had Hempstead at Playmore. Obviously our record at Playmore is good, but a team that's already beaten us this season.
Yeah, we were disappointed with that game because we were 2-1 up, weren't we, with, you know, a minute to go or something, and ended up somehow losing the game, which was a disappointing. But me and Downsy watched them yesterday against Haven, so we've got we've had an eye on them for a few days, and hopefully we can get another result, and another result at home. It's not a foregone conclusion. If they'd won that game yesterday, they would have been eighth or ninth in the league. So again, we'll respect them. And again, we're going to have to put on a good show, because there's players in their team that can be dangerous.
Injuries forced your hand a little bit with bringing in the youngsters on Saturday, but can you see a time later in the season when they can play a part again?
You can. Again, it depends on the situation and whether there's a place available. Because what you try and do is pick people on merit. So, you know, the lads, because as you say, we had a few injured. So you have to get players that you need in the positions that you need, and then you ask, you know, Robbie and Bish and Kevin, of course, who runs the team, who's doing well, and they move up because they've done well. And so that's good. So if you're good enough, you're old enough, is the saying, isn't it? And so they'll be champing at the bit because they would have enjoyed it, you know. And after the game, I brought them together and I said I was proud of them, and I'm sure your parents would be proud of you and all that sort of thing. I choked up a little bit in the young throat, even though I've been in it a million years. But they would have got the passion for it. They would have seen what it's like to win games, to play at a level you've never played at before, and survive and come through it well. So I'm sure there'll be another opportunity at some stage. But you can't, you know, it won't be everybody that gets an opportunity. They've got to earn that opportunity.
Quite rightly so, the youngsters have got a lot of attention, but you know, people like Ryan Hansen played, and Rhys Lovett, you know, Fia Williams scored two goals, and he's a youngster as well, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it was a good team performance, wasn't it? Against, you know, okay, a 7-league team, but that's not always...
See themselves as a Southern League team because they're in a position where they're probably one of the favourites to go up from that league. So they're playing like a team that's going to be promoted and get up to the next level. And you look back and you think, well, they played Worthing the week before. Worthing had put more or less their best team out that they could, and they beat them on penalties. And the facilities, although they do a lot of work there and they try hard and they looked after us, and we're very grateful welcoming us to their stadium. And really, I really mean that, because they did. But the pitch is obviously a leveller. The wind was, I don't know how many miles per hour, but it was very, very strong. And so that was why, with the win, they had a good 10-15 minute spell that we was able to get through. And we broke their spirit a little bit with the two goals in the first half, up the hill and against a strong wind. Rhys then broke their spirit properly because saving the penalty kept us at 2-0, and otherwise it'd be 2-1, and it'd give them a little bit more oxygen and energy. So it was a fine performance because, in the end, it was a comfortable one.
You're talking about, obviously, youngsters and the positions you need them in at the time. Jacob Wellington is, obviously, Callum had been close to the team and duly got in it after the game against Weymouth. Jacob Wellington, I think, is only 16 still. Yeah. Was that a case of him being the best of them, or was it you needed a midfield player in his position?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, if there's a player there that's not quite ready, or we don't think he's ready, because we've seen him quite a lot, then of course we wouldn't pick that person. That wasn't the case. On this occasion, it was something that, because we knew the players and we knew that they wouldn't let us down, we could bring them in.
Yeah.
And I think there's a few lads in the youth team that we could do that with. But we've got to remember, it is a very big jump between, you know, a youth team and the competition that they're in and the teams they play against, and the first team as far as league games are concerned. So they just got to keep going, keep patient. Like Callum, you know, Callum's been really, really patient. Downsy's had to do a lot of work with him. We've done a lot of work with him mentally and physically, and it was exactly the right time to give him his 90-minute debut, and he came through it very well. So everyone will see that, you know, whether you're 16 or whatever, and we think you can handle it, whatever the game is, then we'll bring them in as and when. But as I said, you've got to earn it. They've got to earn it.
You've got Will Jenkins Davies back, which was always something that you'd had your eye on doing.
Yeah.
He was playing pretty well when he got injured. Mm. You forget how young he is as well. He's only 19, I think, isn't he?
Yeah.
What level do you think he's come back at? And did you recognise the Will Jenkins Davies that, I know he's only came on as a sub, but that left to the one that's just come back? And do you think he'll take a week or two to really get back up to it again, or is he already at a good level?
Yeah, no, I think he'll take a week or two, but I think he's that type of lad that he'll give you everything he's got. And we know that we couldn't start him in that front game because he'd only had a few...
That's why
we didn't start him, because Plymouth allowed us probably to sit there, the right to have had him a week longer, but we promised them that we would look after him, and that we could only play him for 30 minutes. I was trying to get 35 out of him, but Downsy wouldn't let me. And he came on and scored with his second touch, I think, first or second touch. So he's a great lad and he's going to be very important to us. So now he's had that 30 minutes come through it because it's a fitness thing, and if he's got to build up a little bit, you know, he might start, he might come on again later, but you know, we now know that A, Plymouth, no, did I say it, sir? Before?
No, you didn't.
Plymouth, good. Yeah, that Plymouth are now happy for us to do whatever we need to do, and that's good news for us.
Quite a long chat with Gary today.
Did you sniff there?
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm
okay, good. All right.
Quite a long chat with Gary today. Lots to talk about. Everything's going well.
I think it was quite a long chat, but I think I'm probably going to have to edit it a bit earlier because it went off record a couple of times, I noticed. It does go off
the wall a couple of times when Dean Moxie arrives.
Dean Moxie arrived.
Yeah, yeah, and goes into the kitchen there without realising that everybody's recording.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to gauge it because Ian always stops the recording for the website at the end of his questions.
Yeah.
So that's what you see on the website, on the Talking United website. And you don't hear us then talking to him afterwards. So sometimes I think Gary might not have realised that we're still on the record. So I have had to on a couple of occasions just to police it a bit. But he's quite good anyway.
We'll have a listen. He's pretty relaxed. Look, I can contain myself no longer.
Oh, okay.
The unique thing, I can't imagine it ever of happening before, ever having happened before. The Wellington family.
Okay.
Jacob Wellington, who played for Torquay, made his debut for Torquay at Froome. We'll come back onto that in a minute.
I know where you're going.
Aaron Wellington plays for Brixham.
Yeah.
Both the FA Vase final and the FA Trophy final are played on the same afternoon at Wembley later in the season. And both Torquay and Brixham are still in the competitions.
Yeah.
So there is a slight possibility that two brothers could be playing for two different teams in two different cup finals
at Wembley
on the same afternoon.
Day. Yeah.
And that's never going to have happened before,
No, that's brilliant. No, that's a good call.
So keep an eye on that. That'll be the pub quiz question.
I mean, the pressure's on from him to be at least on the bench, isn't it, if that happens?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Or in the squad, surely. But he was one of the success stories from Froome weekend. Torquay, of course, won 4-1, in case you've been out of the country for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Two goals for Theo Williams, which will have done him a power of good.
Yeah, which is kind of basically, you know, the limelight's been taken off of Theo Williams by the fact that younger players than Theo Williams were involved.
I mentioned Archie Harris in the press conference just now. The limelight's right off Archie, and I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, he's doing well.
But he's passing under the radar a little bit. Ollie Tomlinson got one.
Scored his first goal for... Was that his first goal?
I'm going to have to look that up on my spreadsheet in a minute.
Yeah.
But it was Torquay's 50th goal of the season.
Was it? Well, Ollie's?
Ollie's was Torquay's 50th goal of the season. Theo got another one, and then WJD, William Jenkins Davis.
Don't call him that because it makes me think of a sort of an Alco pop from 1992.
I know. Of course, you would have been of that sort of age.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's WKD, was it?
It was. Yeah. They may still make it.
Yeah.
Do they still make Hooch and things like that?
Two Dogs. Two Dogs had a Torquay.
A
dress on the back of the bottle.
It was Beveridge Brands.
Yes,
was the local company.
That's right. They did that, did they?
A kind of a pioneer.
That was like a 2 or 3 year quick burst of those alcohol pops, wasn't it, for Two Dogs?
Two Dogs is almost the punchline to a very rude joke as well, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
The punchline includes those two words.
Okay.
But I'm not going any further than that.
I'm intrigued.
So the young lads who played at Froome, hats off to Jacob Wellington, who started.
Yep, I'm not wearing a hat, but I'm doing the universal hat off signal.
Kai Swan, who came on.
Yep.
Thomas Chastay, who came on as well.
Yep.
Charlie Wills and Harvey Coggins, who had to be content with being on the bench.
Yeah, Charlie Wills, of course, is Kevin Wills' son.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
This is great. This is there are dynasties building.
Absolutely.
Here,
yeah. Kai Swan plays decent level football for other people as well. So, or is that a brother? No, that might be a brother as well. No, I think Tor Swan plays for Barnstable. Used to play for Buckland.
Okay.
So that I can't imagine there's too many Swans with two N's in it that aren't related.
No, you're probably right. You'd have just heard us talking to Gary about the youth players and the fact that they've really got to earn it if they're going to get another place in the team. But
well, I did
think one or two of them might have.
I did write the fact that, you know, don't worry, Jacob Wellington, if you don't hear from the first team again for Lee Sharp. You know, Lee Sharp made his debut.
Yeah, I hadn't realised.
And then
that.
Didn't play for the first team again for seven or eight months or something. But he went on to star in Love Island.
He did, the pinnacle of his career.
The first obviously. ever series. When it was just Celebrity. I know everything about that kind of
thing. Was it just Celebrities?
First one was.
Was it anybody else we've ever heard
it
of?
Got it got relaunched. Oh, yeah, no, there was Paul Dunane. There was that famous Paul Dunane meltdown in it, which probably wouldn't happen nowadays because they would have... Jane, whatever her name was, she was a TV, children's TV presenter. There was quite a few.
Okay.
Yeah, quite a few people. Big people. So... Love Island originally was a Celebrity thing, and it was about three or four seasons in, and they dumped it, and then they brought it back non-celebrity, and that's when it took off.
Oh, interesting. I'm glad we've got you to monitor reality TV for us, so I don't have to watch it.
Exactly.
Did you watch The Jungle one?
Well,
Celebrity?
Funny enough, funny you should say that, guy.
Have I opened a can of worms?
Funny, you should, got about five or six episodes in and dumped it.
Yeah.
Just, it's done now, finished. Move on.
So you think it's had its time?
Yeah, yeah.
Tired format.
Yeah, and I couldn't stand Nigel Farage either.
Thought I'd tease that out. Right, back to the football. It was good to hear Gary say after that Frome game that he had a lump in his throat and a tear in his eye when he was talking to the young lads. I mean, he knows what it means to give the lads a debut.
Must have been a boiled sweet.
Yeah. But to give lads a debut like that and, you know, get them all involved. Callum Thomas, again, we've forgotten him. He made his full debut.
Yeah,
90 minutes.
He did.
No, he'd started, didn't he? But a full 90 minutes.
Yeah. So I mean, he made his. They call it your debut if you come on, but it's a full debut if you start. So, look, I don't want to. Having spoken to you about someone on the radio calling it a patched up team on Radio Devon, and I found that a bit disrespectful. I'm probably just about to do the same thing. I think his hand was forced to play that team.
Yeah.
And he took a risk. And I write about that in the paper this week, that the risk he took was, imagine the furore if we'd lost 2-0 there at Frome. You can imagine what some of the fans would have been writing. But Aaron Downs said the week before, they'll play a team that they know can win the game.
Yeah.
And they were proved right.
Yeah.
And it did mean that he could give injured players more time to get back, players that are carrying injuries that play at the moment, more time to have a rest.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of people like Dean Moxey, because I'm sure he would have played if it had been, this weekend in a National League game. Yeah. And I think they judged it right. And I think, you know, those young players came in and did a good job. We saw, didn't we, against Weymouth, Callum Thomas being thrown into the deep end and, you know, swim very, very well.
Did fine. Did absolutely
lots
fine.
Of, lots of certificates that day. and then he can... Well, once you've done that, you know, he's now a possibility for every game.
Yeah.
Until now, he's been a... You've looked at it and gone, oh, he's only on the bench because we've only got four other fit players.
But it wouldn't be a surprise this weekend against Hemel to see Jake Wellington, Kai Swan, Thomas Chastey, possibly the fifth man on the bench.
Yeah.
Depending on how the injuries recover, they could well get a place on the
bench.
And might even get on. And another tick in the box from Frome was Will Jenkins-Davis.
Yeah. Wicked.
A goal. He scored with his last touch for Torquay at Hemel Hempstead.
Yeah.
And with his first touch for Torquay.
We think it's his first touch. I wasn't at the game. Gary said his first touch in the interview afterwards. he said the second touch in the interview today. So maybe he's backtracking on that. But whatever. It doesn't matter.
It's close.
And if he scores with his first touch on Saturday, that's his first touch in a national league game as well, and his last touch.
It is. And Hemel will remember him well.
Yeah, he was injured already in that Hemel game. And it's funny because that'll be Hemel and Hemel as well. I mean, it just, the stars aligned.
I know, absolutely. I mean, I was at the Hemel game. I was at that game where we were 2-1 up in the 85th minute.
84th, I think, 84th. Ross Marshall scored, yeah.
And then chucked it away. Yeah. Really, really.
Very, very, very chucked it away.
Really,
I remember you texting something to me afterwards.
Was there swearing in it?
I think there might have been.
Yes, there probably was.
And you're usually so mild-mannered.
I know, it wasn't... It was up until the 84th minute, it was a great afternoon. Yeah, I was really enjoying myself. And then everything... The floor fell out in the last few minutes. So let's not do that again Saturday. It's our first reverse fixture.
Yeah, I didn't realise that. That's good.
The first time we play a team again. Hemel is 16th at the moment. Yeah. But as Aaron was saying, if they'd won against Havant-Waterlooville last night... Yes, it was.
They would have gone up to ninth.
They would have gone up to ninth.
However, I think more interestingly, they didn't win against a team at bottom of the division.
No, no.
So that's interesting.
What they'd they've of their last 10 games, they've won 3, drawn 3, and lost 4. Hemel.
Okay.
I make that lost 5 of their last 11. Yep. Factor in last night.
Yep.
So they're on a kind of an average run. Yep. I'd like to think that. It's a game that we can win on Saturday. The current run that we're on. It depends who plays up front.
It does.
If Brad Ash is fit.
I think Brad Ash is fit. I think he was just rested.
But
he's played an awful lot of games.
Yeah.
And has done an awful lot of running. Finally found his shooting boots as well. If there was one thing you could criticise him slightly for during that awful lot of doing hard work was... an awful lot of misses.
Yeah.
But he's now scoring three in 3 games.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, are we getting close to record territory here, which is 6, Kyle Airy time. I think I need to have a look at the record books to see what games Kyle Airy scored in, because if they were all straight league games, then...
Was it 7, Kyle Airy?
6, I think. David Graham got to 6 as well, so it might have been 7.
Yeah. The record is
or
there.
Or David Graham got to 5. I know he got one away.
I just remembered something else about the Froome game as well that I was going to tell you. I forgot what it was now.
Froome.
Never mind. It'll come back to me. Or it might not, but who knows. Yeah, so, I mean, Hemel's a big game. Hopefully a better crowd for the Hemel game than we had the other Tuesday night.
Yeah,
disappointing crowd for Weymouth.
When Weymouth can only bring 60 or 70, I know it's a Tuesday night, but it's only Weymouth.
Yeah. But
are we really in this kind of territory where, you know, those kind of figures come up?
Yeah, I know. But
from so close.
Important game to win.
You can understand it when it's Braintree on a Tuesday night. Do you know what I mean? It's 12 turn up. Yeah, I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
Don't when it's only 70 or whatever from Weymouth.
And then, of course, on Tuesday, we've got they finally get to play the away game at Taunton.
Yeah, you hope.
Well, depends how much it rains.
Yeah, exactly.
We're both looking out the window.
Yeah.
Blue sky out there now. Taunton have only won 1 in their last 8.
Yeah.
They're 14th.
They are.
That's a must-win game.
They're all must-wins.
They're all, yeah. Yeah, there's too many things to say.
I know Gary talked, and I think it might have been after the tape stopped rolling. Yes,
I love the image that conjures up. You're going to have a Trilby hat with a press card in it, aren't you, for that?
And big cameras with flash bulbs on the top. Yeah. He said, "Oh, look, it's one game at a time. We really only. I mean, I know we know what's coming up, but it's really one game at a time. But if you look, right, we've got 3 games before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's 9 points.
Yeah,
we've got." 4 games from Saturday to Boxing Day in 11 days.
Yeah, that's a big
ask. That's 12 points.
Yeah.
And then if you include the 30th, which is Truro,
mm-hmm.
that's 5 games before the end of the year. That's 15 points available before the end of the year against teams we can beat.
And that...
That's a big 15 points. If we can start 2024 with that amount of points on top of what we've got already, we'll be in good...
We will. The gap to Yeovil is down to 9 points.
Yeah.
We're all looking at it. Gary says he isn't looking at it, but you know, it's just that they were, as Dave Thomas said during the conference just now, they were romping away at the top, and they're not romping.
The gloves were off, but now the gloves are off.
I like that. I like that. You could use that. I mean, the Taunton game is winnable.
Yeah, absolutely. And so are the two Truro games.
Yeah, there'll be a big contingent.
And so is Hemel Hempstead.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? There's another one in there somewhere. Chelmsford City. Yeah, away.
Chelmsford. That'll be tricky.
That's tricky. Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't all that when they came to Playmore, but on their own pitch.
Listen, though, when he said all that, he did that. That kind of like
all that. Yeah, yeah. Just like an Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
Taunton have got Dan Lavercombe, a goalkeeper.
Of course they have, yeah.
They've got Lloyd James,
yeah,
the 1950s bin man.
Yeah.
They've got Matt Villis as assistant manager. Yeah. I thought he was in Busted or something.
That was Matt. Oh, no.
Matt Willis.
Matt Willis. Oh, very good.
They've got a very...
Very good.
They've got a very interesting character there as well who doesn't seem to be playing at the moment. They've got a lad called Nick Makuti.
Okay.
I just had a look on their webpage. He's 35 years old.
Yeah.
And he looks as if he's played for almost every club in the Somerset, Bristol okay. area. He started off at Bristol City.
Yeah.
Then he went to Yate Town.
Yeah.
Then he first joined Taunton in January 2009.
Okay.
And then he went to Bridgewater. Then he went to Cinderford. Then he went to Poulton Rovers, then Bath City, then Chippenham, then Western Supermare, and then back to Taunton.
He's like a pinball.
He's like a pinball. I imagine he's a bit of a hero up there.
Yeah,
yeah. And, you know, I hope we see him on Tuesday night, because those are the kind of players that you love to see in a game like this. And he's probably the kind of player who will infuriate away fans and endear himself to home fans. The kind of guy you want in your team.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
You don't want in anybody else's.
Yeah, exactly.
But Nick Makuti, if he plays, keep an eye out for him.
Good stuff.
The FA Trophy draw.
Yeah.
I love that FA Trophy draw.
Do you?
I love playing against Hereford. My mate Paul lives in Hereford, so it gives me a chance to go up and have a pint before the game.
I get confused with Hereford. Are they the same Hereford, or are they a new Hereford?
They're
a new Hereford. But aren't they also the Phoenix Hereford that came back into the league and then dropped back out again?
No, they've come all the way up.
They're not the Hereford that went up in 2009 or something, back into the league, with Connor Washington playing for him.
No, they were this Hereford were founded in 2014.
Right, okay, so they are a brand new Hereford.
The last time we played up there,
I think that might be the third Hereford.
I think it could be.
Yeah,
you might be right. January the 13th, we got there in the FA Trophy. The last time we played up there was the 5th of May, 2012.
Okay.
It was a huge game for both teams because theoretically Torquay had a slim chance of promotion and Hereford had to win and Barnet lose
right.
to stay up.
Okay.
And Hereford won.
Okay.
They, if I remember rightly, they went 3-0 up because we were standing in that rather primitive terrace behind the goal at Edgar Street. Primitive, but I love it. It's just a ground that oozes character. We got it back to 3-2. Ryan Jarvis scored.
Okay.
And Taiwo Atieno scored. But we couldn't win the game. So our slim chance of promotion went. And because Barnet won at Burton, Hereford were relegated.
Right.
So both sets of fans were absolutely gutted at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Despite the fact it had actually been quite a good game.
Okay.
They flooded the pitch beforehand. I think they had a problem with the sprinklers, if I remember rightly.
Oh,
the
and it went too mad.
The pitch was absolutely drenched before the game. So it was a strange kind of a game. But that was the last time we were there. Over the years, we've played them 59 times.
I was going to say, I mean, they were kind of one of those teams that was in the same division as us quite a lot in the sort of 70s, 80s.
In the 80s and 90s, I think we always played them three times a season. Yeah. We'd play them in the league and we'd always get them in the Sherpa.
Or the League Cup.
Or the FA Cup.
The Milk Cup.
Whatever happened to the Simod Cup? Yeah. That was the championship teams, wasn't it, in the Simod Cup?
I don't remember. I remember the name. I don't remember what the makeup was.
The Watney Cup is the one they ought to bring back.
Yeah.
From the 70s. That was the top scoring teams in
the four divisions. Oh, was that how it was?
Yeah.
Was that a beer? Watney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pre-season tournament. And it was just all the games finished like 4-3 or 5-4 and stuff like that. It was fantastic.
Cups we have known and loved.
So yeah, Hereford, they were founded in 2014, the current Hereford FC, and they started in the Midland Football League, which presumably is on a par with the Southern League or something like
it
that.
It would be, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's changed now. But I think there's a Midland division of the Southern League nowadays. Okay. But yeah.
Midland Football League, and they're now sixth in National League North, so they're kind of on a par.
I know, actually, it might well be closer to the Western League level than a, but they've climbed.
They've climbed. They're on a par with us now. They're sixth in National League North.
Yeah.
So that'll be a great game. I hope we take a lot of fans, even though it's an FA Trophy game. I'm definitely going to be there because I'm going to have a pint with my mate Paul.
Oh, yeah.
I am, yeah.
You're going all the way to Hereford.
Going to Hereford. If there's a supporters coach going, which I'm sure there will be, probably go on that.
What load of balls?
They used to have a parade of bull on the pitch.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, the badge is still one big bull's face.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, Edgar Street. I love Edgar Street. As away trips go, that's one of the ones I like the best. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be good. And that's the last 32. So we're getting close now.
We are. And of course, that's the same day that Brixham play at
North Greenford. Parakeets.
The Parakeets. And the Wellington family will have everything crossed for that one. And of course, Dad plays walking football for Torquay United.
Does he?
It's a dynasty, I tell you. Oh. I tells you. Oh. Julian's been keeping tabs on us for a lot of the non-league
stuff. Thank you, Julian.
Goals. Lloyd James scored for Taunton. He reports Ricky Aguiar scored again for Worthing. He scored against us, didn't he?
Yeah.
Earlier in the season.
Of course he did.
Ashley Hemmings got three for Kidderminster against Stourbridge.
He's still going.
Still going. Louis Britton got two for Maldon and Tiptree.
And what is he playing
in a 3-2 defeat
he
against Witham Town?
Although he wasn't with us for long, was he?
Well, didn't he score?
No, he put one over the crossbar.
Yeah.
With a brilliant strike in the first game for us, and we all thought, "Here we go."
He's good.
And then he got recalled quite quickly, didn't he, or something?
And Mo Touré, who we had briefly on loan and who turned up at Newport County last season or the season before.
I was thinking of Newport when I was thinking of Hereford earlier. And Welsh team. They're Welsh, aren't they?
The Welsh, Hereford. I thought it's in the Marches, isn't it, Hereford?
Yeah.
Mo Touré scored one for Warrington Rylands.
Okay.
They beat Stafford Rangers 7-2.
Do they dress as Ryland? Ryland Clark? Do they play like...
That would be brilliant.
All exaggerated and
big teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all that. You know
you're everywhere.
They are owned by a millionaire agent and he's ploughing some money into Warrington Rylands. So they might be worth the Warrington
Rylands.
Can't
be cool that.
Do you think they deliver cars to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep an eye out for the Warrington Rylands.
It sounds like a terrifying dream.
They'll be coming up through the leagues. Julian also points out, this is interesting, the four clubs promoted to the National League from South and North are in the bottom four places.
Are they?
Ebbsfleet, Oxford City, Kidderminster and Fylde.
Oh, that's interesting.
The bottom four teams in the National League. And the four clubs relegated, Scunthorpe are top of National League North, Yeovil are top of National League South, Maidstone and Torquay second and fourth.
Yeah, interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what it proves, but it's interesting.
Well, one proves that there's a gap, one proves there's no gap.
But for the four clubs to go up to all be sat there in the bottom four.
Yeah, that'd be strange if it was a complete reversal at the end of the season.
Isn't it?
But it can't be a complete... Well, it could be... No, it can't be, because only two can go up from south. But.
Yeah, that's true. they would jiggle the number. No, they can't.
No,
you're right.
It's only because three went into the south and one went and they switched someone up, didn't they?
So unless you have any other business, see, I've been in a lot of council meetings this week.
You sound like you've been having a whale of a time.
Unless there's any other business.
Palm trees, talk about palm trees.
Talk about palm trees. That was an interesting story.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to have been the person who broke that story first on Monday, but it's gone everywhere.
It's in The Guardian today, guys.
Yeah. Well, it started... It started on that laptop over there.
Can I touch it?
You can. The laptop that started the palm tree story.
I don't want to get political, but what were they thinking?
What were they thinking? Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily if they had to cut them down because of rotting cores or whatever. I mean, rotting cores, councils,
The core. But they should have just talked to people.
They should have just let them know.
There is a Torquay United connection as well, because that garden used to be on the front of the programme.
It did, yes.
Back in the 60s, there was that kind of sort of blue-tinted photograph of that garden.
We can start something now, actually. I had the idea in the driving the car back from training. You walked to training, which was very brave because it started raining, didn't it?
It did, yeah. I was soaked when I got there, but never mind.
That we should get Gordon Oliver's palm tree that was once in the middle of that roundabout and is now outside Sainsbury's, and plonk it right in the middle.
Of the gardens,
as a new centrepiece. I think it'd be worth more there than it is where it is right now.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, start it.
Well, let's start the campaign.
Yeah.
I did quite enjoy, when that palm tree of Gordon Oliver's was first in the headlines,
yes,
which we might have been responsible for as well, and it was in the middle of that roundabout surrounded by gravel at the bottom of Hamlin Way, and somebody went out and put quite a large effigy of SpongeBob SquarePants next to it.
Yeah,
and that lasted for about a week. It was good, nice.
Was it you?
It was not me.
Was it Jim?
No, it might have been. I went out and took a photograph of it though, just in case it didn't last very long. So somewhere I've got a picture of the SpongeBob SquarePants on there. But we've digressed.
We have. Yeah,
it's that kind of time of the year, isn't it? Next week, I think we will be doing Quiz Ball.
Okay.
I say I think because I haven't checked that our third member who needs to be quizzed is available, but I will check.
Yeah.
Because that'll be our last podcast before Christmas.
Yeah, I've never really thought about when the podcasts fall, but
I don't think we'll pod between Christmas and New Year.
So we'll have that off, shall we?
And then we'll pod again in the new year when we'll have a lot of
15 points more.
We will. Yeah. But we will be back next week.
With 3 points
more. Absolutely certain. 6 points more.
Oh, this time of next course. Week. Yeah.
Two games, Hemel Hempstead and Taunton.
Yeah.
Plenty to talk about. More press conferences.
Yeah, I might have got over my cold. I might not be feeling so sorry for myself and my column.
You look a bit more chipper than I was expecting this morning.
If you'd sent me yesterday, Guy, I wasn't coming yesterday.
Not good, absolutely. Well, there you go. I'm glad you made it. Glad you listened. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Come and have a chat with us at Playmore if you see us.
Say hello.
On Saturday. Tell us what you like about the pod, what you don't like about the pod, and we'll wish you a Merry Christmas. And
in
the meantime, we'll finish as we always do. Come on, you yellows.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows. Full of pride, buckle up for the ride of your...